Thanks for joining us. This is Notepad. We are doing a little segment called Pantau Kerajaan Baru, or the monitoring of the new government. Because of this, we're trying to see and explore some of the ideas that the government may think about or might be doing when it comes to policy and actionable items in leading this new administration. Very recently, the World Bank data shows that Malaysia's businesses have underperformed in terms of digitalization relative to most of our ASEAN peers, like Thailand and Vietnam and Philippines and many more of the likes. Now, the study has found that 58% of Malaysian SMEs in particular are categorized as quote-unquote not ready in terms of digitalizing themselves. And according to estimates from consulting firms around the world, that around 77% of SMEs in Malaysia remain at the basic digitalization stage. Now, we've seen how the government is trying to actually improve on the income, for instance, of Malaysians, and trying to get us out of the middle income trap. So digitalization of SME is actually quite crucial. So here to discuss this and more is the country head in Malaysia of SERS, Cloud Solutions and Technology Services Provider, Ravi Ian Paul. Ravi, thanks for taking the time to speak with us. Let's do a quick check in terms of what aspects of digitalization have Malaysia's businesses underperformed in comparison to the bulk of our ASEAN counterparts, Ravi.
Yeah, thanks a lot letting me join, Ibrahim. So in terms of the performance of Malaysia compared to all of the other ASEAN counterparts, especially when it comes to SMBs, the SME segment, right? As you have rightly mentioned, only about 77% of the SMEs are actually digitized. Now, digitization is a very large word, right? So you have larger corporations who have digitization in terms of building, let's say, for example, a manufacturing firm building on automating an entire supply chain, or a smaller company who just goes ahead and starts a business and moves into building a website, right? So digitization is a very large frame of thought, of is a large frame of word, right? So in terms of what the World Bank has gone ahead and found out is that even in terms of SMEs having their own website, it is less than about 50% of them actually have their own website, right, to begin with. Only about 70% of SMEs actually have an email, which is very surprising, because in terms of communication, they only communicate via WhatsApp, or they still have the traditional way of calling. So they have not moved into the digital era of having a website, of having social media. Social media, I think, is, if I'm not mistaken, was only at 40%, right? Now, compared to the ASEAN peers, leaving aside Singapore, because Singapore is a much more advanced nation compared to the rest of ASEAN, we do see countries like Philippines and Indonesia, even countries like Thailand, they do go ahead and set up their websites. They do have email communication. They do have some form of digitization, right, in terms of the SME corporation. Now, this is not only from the World Bank that we are talking about. The data. Sears is a global company, and we have a Southeast Asian presence. So we do have presence across Singapore, Malaysia, Thailand, Philippines. We've done a lot of work in Vietnam as well. So we do see that all of these nations, the digitization is at a much higher pace than what it is in Malaysia.
You know, how the country is set up, how the cabinet is set up right now is quite interesting. We now have a digital communications ministry. We also have ministries that are amalgamating, say, for instance, climate change with environment. We're looking at not just the women's ministry, but women's development ministry. So we're developing the women workforce and as well as the community. There's a lot of structural, tweaking or improvements within the cabinet structure that can see good policies being implemented. With this, what kind of digital advancements do you think that the new government should embark on, particularly when we know that we need to address the low digitalization and digitization elements of SMEs in Malaysia?
True. That's a very valid question again, Ibrahim. So now coming to what has already been done by the government, or what can be done, right? One of the things about what can be done is specifically in terms of education. Now, education is very, very important in Malaysia. And what we have seen is that there are many of the organizations, they prefer to have this view of, okay, I'm just going to sit back and run my own servers, or I'm not going to go ahead and advance my own initiative into digitization. Now, there are many reasons for this that we have come across, but primarily one of the main reasons that smaller SMEs believe that moving to the cloud, one of the major causes of not, when I say moving to the cloud of any kind of digitization, is that they believe it is an expensive proposition, right? Now, there is a program that was initiated called, I think it is, if I'm not mistaken, it was called Penjaha, which was done by the previous ministry, and they went ahead and helped SMEs to go ahead and get some form of monies for digitization of their businesses. But we did work with one of the local companies, I'm unable to name them, but it was an SME, and it was a lady, actually, thanks for bringing it up as well. So it was a lady entrepreneur who started this business on her own. She had tried to go ahead and get this monies for her digitization of her business, right, which is a small manufacturing plant actually based in Kuching. So the thing was, what happened is that she had to go through many hoops to actually get it. She did get it. It's not that she didn't get it, but the effort to go ahead and put to get it is quite vast, right? Is quite huge. So I think what should happen is, firstly, I think there should be more education about what is digitization in Malaysia, because I think digitization, like I told you initially, is a very huge word, or a very huge ocean of things that can be done. But we should start with educating the Malaysian population, right, in terms of understanding what is digitization. Give them some form of way that they can go ahead and move forward in digitization. Either give them a funding, or give them some kind of, there are many options across all hyperscalers, especially with Google Cloud, AWS, and Azure. They do have multiple options and funding that they can actually go ahead and provide to SMEs as well. Things like digital natives, SMB segment, all do have funding from each of these hyperscalers. I think all of this should be kind of, let's say, advertised more, so that people are aware of the benefits or the advantages that are there in moving to the cloud, or doing some form of digitization. Now, that being said, I'll just like to take a couple of minutes to talk about a few things that have already happened, right? So all of the three hyperscalers are primarily AWS, GCP, and Azure. They've all announced regions in Malaysia. So a region is a place where you go ahead and build a data center, right? So Malaysia is kind of a little delayed when it comes to all of them, because Indonesia already has a data center. Singapore, as you know, has a data center. I mean, it's a little delayed, but I think it's the right environment for all of the companies to understand that people are putting in billions of dollars of investment in Malaysia, right?
Okay.
Your Microsoft, your GCP, as well as AWS, is putting billions of money into infrastructure, building it. So to support that infrastructure, I believe that the government should also help to add their own infrastructure in terms of, for an example, internet connectivity, right? Internet connectivity across Malaysia is not great, to be honest. Actually, in certain manufacturing districts just outside Selangor, don't have proper internet. And so for them to go ahead and move to something like an internet-based solution is quite difficult for them. So I think it should be an infrastructure assistance, it should be some education, and it should also be some kind of funding that they can go ahead and give the SMEs.
All right. We'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more with the country head in Malaysia for SIRS. Thanks for continuing on with us. My name is Ibrahim Sani. This is, of course, Notepad. We are part of the Pantau Kerajaan Baru mini segment of the show. On the line right now is the country head in Malaysia of CERS, the Cloud Solutions and Technology Services Provider. Ravi, I still want to talk about the infrastructure of the government right now when it comes to trying to see or attract investments. Earlier on before the break, you were talking about some of the three hyperscalers trying to invest billions of dollars into building a cloud farm and cloud services providing company in Malaysia. Do you feel that the Communications Ministry, for instance, now rebranded as Digital Communications, must do more when it comes to attracting not just cloud investments, but generally digital investments in trying to push ahead for better digitalization infrastructure for Malaysia?
So Ibrahim, I think that is a very fair point as well. So in terms of, it cannot be, as you know, it cannot just be a one-way track in any business. It has to be two-way. It both has to be by the government as well as by whoever is investing money in the country. So there has been, again, like I said, just going into the past, there has been something called a Cloud Framework Agreement, which is a CFA that was signed again with the four major or the three or the four approved cloud providers in Malaysia. Again, when I'm specifically talking about cloud and not just the whole digitization, because I think moving to the cloud helps you to go ahead and digitize quickly, right? So in terms of what should be done by the ministry, I mean, I hope I can't speak for them, but I believe that they should go ahead and help building a better infrastructure specifically for the internet, right? So in terms of, if you look at the overall perspective of ASEAN, I believe that Malaysia is, if I'm not mistaken, about the fifth or the sixth in terms of the internet connectivity or the internet speed that's available across all of these regions. So that is not a very great standing for Malaysia to actually go ahead and move into a quicker digitization. There is a great initiative by the government to move to 5G as well, which would go ahead and help reduce the entire bandwidth, so-called internet bandwidth issues, right? As long as that is deployed and we can go ahead and see some benefits from this 5G, then that would help ease all of the infrastructure, so-called infrastructure limitations that are there around building the internet, for an example, for now.
Do you feel that the government must do more when it comes to trying to negotiate for a better deal with, say, for instance, Digital Nasional Berhad and 5G? The Prime Minister has indeed spoken about this, that the contract for 5G is going to be reviewed. DNB has said that the previous contract that was awarded to them, worth 11 billion ringgit with Ericsson, is also properly done, and they stand by the decision that nothing impropriety was done. Do you feel that this conversation is going to move ahead? I mean, we're talking about cloud all the time, yes, but what connects the cloud with the user? It's the internet. So, yeah, where do you think the 5G network is going to be discussed in the months to come when it comes to the new government?
Right. So, Ibrahim, to be honest with you, I mean, I don't have the right answer to your question, but I will try to go ahead and answer the best I can, right? So, in terms of the 5G deployment, as you know, it is something that is at a very nascent stage across the world. It's not something that has been, it's not like a developed solution as far as I'm aware, right? It is just something that is an ongoing development and a cyclic process across all countries. Now, coming to what has been done in Malaysia, I think if you look at DNB, they do have some kind of a deployment chart, right, where they've gone ahead and built a website that talks about where exactly 5G is deployed across Malaysia. If you take a look at that, it's a pretty small area of users that have actually deployed 5G, or where 5G has been deployed, again, specifically in very core areas like Kuala Lumpur, a few areas in Penang, if I'm not mistaken, again, the surrounding areas in Selangor, but it has not gone to the same areas where there is no internet as of today, right? So let's say if you go to, I mean, somewhere like Perak, Kuching, or any of these other Sarawas, any of these regions where there is no proper internet as of today, and those are where you'll have to go ahead and give a lot of importance as well, right? So if those people don't have the internet, then digitization across is going to be really difficult, right? So I think the issue is not about the deployment of 5G, it is where 5G should be actually deployed, right? And how, I mean, where are the areas that 5G is deployed, and how best that can go ahead and help Malaysia? So I think deploying it within a state like Kuala Lumpur that already has great internet connection, does not make, I mean, when I say does not make too much of sense, it's primarily, it's better if it's deployed somewhere else that does not have the infrastructure as of today to go ahead and work off the broadband internet connection. I hope that does make some kind of sense.
Okay, well, we'll go for one more short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more with Ravi Ian Paul. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Ravi Ian Paul of CIRS. Ravi, before we wrap up our conversation, I want to learn more about what you said earlier, that the SMEs, particularly when it comes to cloud adoption, is mostly on cost, or they fear that the cost will be high. However, I have a different opinion on that, Ravi. I think cost, yes, could be one of the considerations, but the bigger item, especially when it comes to SMEs, is in terms of the users unable to understand and use the items that is presented to them. We're talking about first generation SME owners that might be old, that might not be technologically savvy or digital native, and because of this, the hesitancy is very high, and they mask it saying that it's too expensive and all that, and therefore they don't want to adopt the new technology. Is my hypothesis correct?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. And it doesn't have to be just with an SME. As you know, in Malaysia, you have a lot of family-owned businesses that are quite large as well, right? So they also do have the same mindset that it is, it's a very difficult proposition. I'm too old. I don't want to learn. I'm much more okay with the way that things are. So primarily, Malaysia is of the opinion, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Right. So yeah. at the end of the day, so,
I mean, not just Malaysia, around the world, to be fair.
Right. To be fair, it's across the world. But I think the way that the other regions, especially again, let's not say the world, but let's say I'm just talking about the ASEAN. So for an example, in Singapore, moving to the cloud, they have seen a lot of benefit, right? Digitization of certain businesses like retail, e-commerce business, they've seen a lot of benefit. Now, we in Malaysia believe that the retail e-commerce businesses, the likes of Lazada, Shopee, Zalora, I mean, we don't have the smaller SMEs moving into retail e-commerce, right? Which is quite vast across the other regions as well. So there are smaller SMEs that do have their own e-commerce website, who do drop shipping, who do go ahead and build this ecosystem around themselves, right? To go ahead and digitize, and that helps them, right? So again, coming back to your point in terms of how we can change that mindset, I believe that companies like CIRS is where we can go ahead and help them, right? Understand what it is to move to the cloud, or what it is to build a website, or what it is to digitize your environment. So we go in with a consulting mind frame rather than just wanting to go ahead and sell them stuff. So when we go ahead and help them understand the roadmap, right? It's basically a roadmap. So if you look at the way digitization is, it is not a sprint. It is not called a digitization sprint. It is called a digitization journey. So the journey is primarily where it doesn't start at point A and then ends at point B, right? It actually starts from point A and ends at point Z. And there are multiple stops along the way. So we will help the customer understand where they are today, as of today in their digital journey, where they can be at the end of the day, and how exactly to get there. And I think that is something that most companies would like, and that's where we can come in and help them understand what is best for them in terms of their journey.
All right. And final question right now is that 2023 is going to be very, very tumultuous when it comes to the economic environment. What would be the two or three things that you think SMEs must think about when it comes to staying resilient in the space of digitalization and cloud adoption?
So like you've said, basically 2023, as far as all of the information coming in, and to be honest, we've not seen a lot of that happening in Malaysia at least, but I'm sure that going towards into 2023 and further, at least the Q1 of 23, I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of changes within Malaysia as well, right? But coming to your point about how exactly we should help the SMEs, one of the main criteria is that they should understand that digitization is the way forward, right? Again, investments in terms of millions is not required to do this. It is a certain amount of money that is actually required to get them onto the digital space. Digitization can also mean simple things like using ads, like using a digital marketing campaign, right? I mean, it can be any of these small areas of digitization that they need to go ahead and get into to be relevant in the current market. So if in case you don't digitize yourself, primarily you are not going to be relevant. And that's across the whole world knows that until and unless you digitize, you're not relevant anymore. So I think one of the key things is for them to understand how much of money they can go ahead and invest, right? Because like money is at the end of the day, one of the core competencies or the core requirements for an SME. So they should be able to go ahead and talk about how much they can go ahead and invest and where they should invest this money to go ahead and build their brand at the end of the day. So building a brand is also important. I think they should understand how they can go ahead and build their brand in the Malaysia region. And I think that most of the SMEs do not see the capability of moving outside of Malaysia, right? Moving into, let's say, an Indonesia or Philippines. So they should always think about moving outside of Malaysia to see how best they can sell their service or their product, right? At the end of the day, if you're not growing, if you're going to be very specific to a local organization, you will not have the experience of a global company. So I think moving away from just the Malaysia region, seeing if there are other markets outside that can take care or want their services or product, I think that's where they should also be going ahead and looking at.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Ravi, for spending your time to speak with us. That was Ravi Ian Paul, the country head in Malaysia of CERS, the cloud solutions and technology services provider. Continue to stay on with us as we bring you some of the key updates on the developments that is currently being happening within the new government and within the new administration. There are plenty of resources like this that can be found on astrawani.com. Search for that as well. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Continue to stay with us on Astrawani.